Celebrating the risen Lord today. I want to read this. Excuse me. I'm going to read this passage of scripture found in Luke 24. And we're all pretty familiar with it, probably, if you've been a Christian for a while. And you know, just dawned on me this time last year, we weren't here. We were unable to meet because of COVID. And so praise the Lord that we can meet today. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a good thing to be in the house of God together. And got to pin that down. Okay. Luke 24, verse 1, it says, but on the first day of the week. Everybody say first day of the week.
First day of the week.
Woo! At early dawn, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you. We celebrate today the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the foundation of what we believe. If there is no resurrection, there is no hope. So, Lord, thank you. Because you came in the form of a man. You put off all that you had in heaven and came here and humbled yourself to even death on a cross to pay for our sin and to make us whole and to make us able to be in your presence. So, Lord, we thank you that you offer that gift to everyone who hears this message. So today, Lord, we pray that you will move in power and just be glorified and magnified today. We want to lift you up and praise you together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So let's all stand up and praise the Lord, shall we?
Okay, here we go.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises.
Your name on high.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high.
You came from heaven to earth.
You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Amen.
Amen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to see you this morning.
Happy Easter. God is so good to us. Yes. It's amazing. Isn't his plans wonderful?
Yes.
Just incredibly amazing for every single one of us. A few announcements. We've got a wonderful service prepared for you today. And so I'm not going to take much time. I do want to remind you, however, that Jenny Bellamy has a wedding next Saturday at noon. And so we're looking forward to that. You may be wondering why this bench is out in the foyer. Jim and Kathy Bellamy are building those to sell to help pay their daughter's hospital bills. And so if you want to purchase one of those, then talk to Jim and Kathy Bellamy. Yeah, they're not here today, but they'll be more than happy to fix you up, I'm sure, with that. Also, some of you may be aware, some of you may not be aware, Gary Gross passed away on Friday. And so he's going to have a funeral service next Saturday at 4 o'clock. And that will be here at the church as well. A wedding and then a funeral. Yep. So, but Gary was a firm believer in Jesus Christ. And we know where he is. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so if you're able to participate in that, then I just invite you and welcome you to do that. I want to thank you, all of those that you fixed breakfast this morning. We had a wonderful time together. And it was a wonderfully tasty breakfast. Thank you so much. I probably didn't eat as much as I needed to, but I enjoyed it, every little bit I ate. So thank you again. Membership workshop, April 18th, if you're not a member of the church and want to become a member, that is something you want to put on your communication card, that you want to participate in the membership workshop. So let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, I come before you today, and Lord, just want to thank you for this glorious day that set aside. And Lord, we're not meeting because it's tradition, we're meeting because you're alive and well. That's right. Yes. And we give you praise and glory and honor. And Lord, I pray that you would just bless us with your spirit today. Lord, may your spirit move in the midst of us. And God, I know you are. And I know you're going to do some marvelous things in our hearts and lives. And so, Lord, we just thank you for your presence. Thank you for the way that you just minister through those who are going to be ministering to us today. And God, we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand up and praise the Lord again if you can.
Okay, here we go. Praise is rising, eyes are turning to you. We turn to you. See you, we find. Because when we see you, we find strength to face the day. And in your presence, all our fears are washed away. Because when we see you, we find strength to face the day. And in your presence, all our fears are washed away. Far away stood an old rugged cross. the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a cross. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, as a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear into dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will sing to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a wondrous love is this, oh my soul, what wondrous love is this, oh my soul, what wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul, to bear the dreadful curse for my soul. When I was sinking down, sinking down, when I was sinking down, when I was sinking down beneath God's righteous frown, God laid aside his crown for my soul, Christ laid aside his crown for my soul. To God and to the Lamb I will sing, to God and to the Lamb I will sing. Millions join the theme, I will sing. this, he opened up my hand to receive his gift. And what wondrous love is here, the God immortal has drawn near and shed his blood to close the rift. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing on, I'll sing on. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing on. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing and joyful be. And through eternity, I'll sing on, I'll sing on. And through eternity, I'll sing on. And through eternity, I'll sing on, I'll sing on. And through eternity, I'll sing on.
Father, we just thank you today and praise you for all that you've done for us. And ask you right now, Lord, just to bless everyone who hears this message today. Lord, I want to pray for our troop of actors, that you would just allow them to worship you with the gift that you've given them and allow us to be blessed by it. Lord, thank you for being here with us. Your presence is blessing enough, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
It was a crazy week.
Crazy week.
It was truly hard to know whether we were coming or going.
Well, maybe for you, but I knew.
You knew nothing.
I knew something was going to go down big time.
Anyway, we were with Jesus at the time, and the whole city was turned upside down. Lazarus raised from the dead was the thing everyone was talking about. There was...
Don't forget about all the other miracles people were talking about.
Whose tongue is sore?
I was just...
Whose tongue is sore? So many miracles were happening this Passover.
Oh, tell them about when Jesus rode on the colt and everyone had their palm branches. That was amazing. Sorry, my bad.
So many miracles surrounding Jesus and so many people believing he truly was the king we were waiting for. I think I heard one Pharisee say, "This is out of control. It seems the whole world is in a stampede after him."
Stampede? Who talks like that? Sorry.
"I swear I'm about to get all Elijah on you and come down in a firestorm."
"I'd like to see you try. Not now. Keep talking."
So there was a group of Greeks, basically Gentiles, who approached me to see Jesus.
Greeks? Like geeks, if you ask me.
"Hey, I'm Greek. What are you saying?"
"Nothing. Please continue."
I truly didn't know what to tell them. So I went to Andrew.
"See, don't be fooled. He needs me."
"You're right. I needed somebody to throw under the bus." So I went to Jesus, and it was like he didn't even hear us talking to him.
He was strange. He acted as if we were children interrupting an important conversation. We were like deer caught in lamplight. Then Jesus said something like, "Who's up? Who's up for the Son of Man to be glory filled?"
"Who's up? Who's up?" That's not what he said.
"Call me a liar?"
"Not a liar. Maybe deaf, but not a liar." What he said was, "Time's up. The time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified."
It was implied what I meant. Now, where was I?
So right. Jesus starts talking about this grain of wheat and how it needs to be buried in order to sprout and reproduce. We knew Jesus well enough to know that he was talking in code again. He was talking about his own death this time. We got that part, but we didn't get the full picture.
I did. I did, kind of. Jesus said, and I know I have this right after the grain thing, he said, "In the same way, if you hold on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you let go, you'll have eternal life."
You remember that voice from heaven? It was God. Some would swear it was angels. Some thought it was thunder. But right after Jesus spoke, God said, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again."
Jesus looked up at us and was like, "Hey, that voice wasn't for my benefit. It was for you. Listen up."
I think the phrase that sticks out to me the most is when Jesus said, "If any of you wants to serve me, then follow me. What will it gain if you had the whole world but lost your soul? Take up your cross and follow me."
That was it, huh? Forgot about the take up your cross part. You knew the end.
Wasn't the end. It was the beginning for all of us.
What a week.
What a week.
My sister asked me, "Mary, what exactly was the purpose of that little scene you caused right there in the middle of dinner?" All I could say is, it was just something I could do. Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me back up. Meeting Jesus, I guess I just never thought he might be so personable. One who would come to our home for dinner, laugh at our jokes, and tell a few himself. Sitting with him made everything else seem less important. We wanted to honor Jesus for all that he'd done for our family. Looking back, realizing the world was against him, it would have been better if we just let him know that we were united and all on his side. We really missed an opportunity there. Where was I? Yes. We decided to have a dinner to honor Jesus. How exactly do you thank someone for bringing your brother back to life? Martha had prepared one of her perfect meals. And me? What could I do? I decided to give up something that was most precious to me. But precious things given to Jesus are never wasted. And I knew, as soon as I did it, it was obvious. Some people weren't pleased with my choice. It wasn't planned. It was spur of the moment. I let my hair down in public, which you just don't do. And I wiped his feet with it. I poured out an expensive perfumed oil to honor him. And that smell, it just filled the whole house. That night, if I would have stayed paralyzed in fear of what my sister thought, the anger of onlookers, or even what a disciple could say, I might have never worshiped him the way I did. And that fragrance, it just filled the whole house for days. At his feet, none of their opinions mattered. And Jesus, he stood up for me. So why did I do it? It was all I had to give. And just days later, Jesus would be pouring out all he had for us, for me.
I serve an unapproachable God. Well, that is to say, I serve the high priest who serves an unapproachable God. At least, he would go behind the veil once a year to offer sacrifices and talk to God. But that all changed that night. That's how I refer to it now, is that night. We'd all heard stories about Jesus claiming to be the Son of God. It's all that the high priest and the others would talk to in the weeks leading up to that night. Well, we followed Judas into the garden because he knew where Jesus would be. And when we got there, Jesus was the only one who was awake, and he seemed upset. And there were others there, but it was too dark to get a good look at him. And then Judas walked right up to Jesus and gave him a kiss on the cheek. And I was just close enough to hear Jesus call him friend. The next thing I knew, there was this flash of the sword and this pain from the side of my head, and blood was just streaming down my neck, and I was getting dizzy. I thought I was going to pass out. And then Jesus, he touched me. He touched me where my ear had once been. And I heard a lot of stories about Jesus and the healing that he had done with his hands. But it was his eyes. It was his eyes that got to me. Looking in his eyes, it was like he knew me. Like he really knew me. He knew all about me. There was compassion, grief, and joy all wrapped up in one in his eyes. I don't know how else to put it. And when he pulled his hand away, my ear, it was there once again, like nothing had happened. Well, anyways, they led Jesus to the high priest to have a trial with him. And I heard a lot of stories about the things that Jesus had done, but what they accused him of. It didn't make sense. It wasn't like they were trying to find truth. It was just like they were trying to condemn him. And Jesus, he just stood there. He just looked so sorry for us. Well, they led him away to Pilate, and then he was crucified. And I was working in the temple at the time, and I looked out, and there was darkness at midday, and then there was this earthquake, and then there was this loud crack. It was the veil had been torn in two, and I knew what that meant. It invited us in. God is now approachable. God is on the road.
Was headed into the city to celebrate the Passover while he was being led out of the city to become the Passover lamb. And we didn't have any idea. I was determined to celebrate Passover in Jerusalem. And I had traveled over 1,500 miles. And when I got there, the city, it was an incredible sight. Sight I wasn't expecting. The crowd, it seemed 10 times larger than the last Passover. There were angry mobs in the street and people everywhere. People were shouting the name Jesus. Some were crying. Roman guards were moving people back as this man with a beam across his back, bloodied beyond all recognition, was making his way down the street. They were taking him to the place of the skull, Golgotha. As I was trying to make sense of it, all the anger and the screaming and weeping, so much weeping, a Roman guard grabbed me, literally pulled me from the crowd and ordered me to carry this man's cross. I had traveled long ways to come celebrate. If I carried his cross, his blood would stain me and prevent me from celebrating. But the Romans, they have authority over us. Order us to carry for at least a mile, maybe more. I froze. I didn't know what to do until I saw him. I saw him. I saw what the fuss was all about. This was the man that claimed to be the Son of God, Jesus. I saw him with my own two eyes, and I couldn't take myself away from him. Or what was left of him. His body was mutilated to where one could hardly see a man behind the blood, almost like pounds of beaten flesh standing upright. His eyes met mine. This wasn't a criminal or a crazed man with grandiose ideas. This was an encounter with the Messiah, the one who was sent. Was making his way down the street, step by step, barely able to stand. I told myself, don't cause trouble with the Romans. Take up his cross. Just do it, Simon. Forget about your Passover sacrifices and just do it. As I put my arm around him, as I helped him walk, I felt a beam across my back, across my shoulder. I was trying to help Jesus, whose knees kept buckling under a weight that seemed to go far beyond the wooden cross. He was carrying the weight of the entire world on his shoulders. but we kept walking together. I was carrying what I could, but he was carrying so much more. I heard the insults to him and now to me. I felt the spit and his blood on my skin. I saw the scars and the wounds all over his body. They had taken a crown of thorns and mashed it into his head, and blood ran down into his eyes. People were yelling, "Where's your heavenly Father now, Jesus? Prophesy, you liar!" Laughing, mocking. They took him to Calvary. They put him on a cross. They nailed his hands and his feet, and they stood him upright. And I watched him. For 6 hours, he strained to stretch as far as he could to get air into his lungs. I looked down at my hands, seeing Jesus' blood. I was so worried about his blood making me unclean, when in reality, it's what made me clean. He gasped for his last breath and died. That day I took up my cross. I helped Jesus carry my cross, and Jesus hung and died on my cross.
Sure, how, what's the word that means both excited and terrified? Do you know? All I know is we were both of those things that morning, and my feet ran faster than my sandals ought to take me. We had to tell everyone what had happened. You see, after Jesus was crucified, it was all over. I mean, were we wrong about him? We must have been, because Jesus was dead. And so we hid. We hid in fear. And those 3 days, they were the longest days of my life. We were so afraid. And then on Sunday morning, a group of us women went to the tomb to prepare Jesus' body with oils and spices. It was the least we could do, even though none of this made any sense. And when we got there, we couldn't believe our eyes. My mind raced faster than my feet as we bolted from the tomb. Would the rest of the disciples believe what we had to tell them? There was this blinding angel and silenced Roman guards, and the big tombstone was rolled away. And then inside the tomb lay unnecessary grave clothes, folded neatly, as if they had some kind of secret to tell. If the picture's worth 1,000 words, that tomb held 1,000 promises. Because do you see what this means? We had been waiting for a Messiah to come and restore Israel. And Jesus, he exceeded all our expectations. He was the Messiah that no one could contain. We were hoping too small. Because what this means is, whatever has been taken away, God can restore it. Because he lives. We can live too. Our biggest roadblock has been removed, and not even death's door can shut out the certainty of life with Jesus, our strongest enemy has been defeated. So you tell me, what rival can stand against him? Kings? Presidents? The powers that be? What's happening right now? What is to come? Our lowest lows, our highest highs, none of these things can make that grave less empty. There is nothing. There's no temple veil, no checkered past, not even the most hellish lie that can keep the mortal from putting on immortality. Jesus has softened the sting of death, and he has swallowed up our defeat in victory. Now, I don't have all the answers, but standing next to those discarded grave clothes, those secret keeping pieces of cloth, well, I know one thing for sure. He is not dead. He's not missing, and he has not been taken away. Jesus walked out of that tomb, and he left death and those grave clothes behind. If there is a way to be had, it's through him. If there is hope for this world, his name is Jesus, the Messiah. Our Messiah. My Messiah. Yeah. Jesus, he's alive. The secret is out. The secret is out.
Very touching. Amen. Just appreciate the drama team. Appreciate Laura kind of directing this. And so thank you so much. Just want to share a few things. So there's one pivotal moment in history that changed everything. The resurrection of Jesus changed hopelessness to hope. It revealed God the Father in a whole new way, as opposed to what was described or what people perceived in the Old Testament. A God of love, a God who cares, a compassionate God. It brought the prophecies of the Old Testament to life. Isaiah 61, Isaiah 53, some prophecies of Joel and Zechariah and others. These prophecies were no longer a mystery. They had been revealed. The Roman soldiers couldn't keep him in the tomb. The stone couldn't keep him in the grave. Satan thought he had won the victory, but Satan had no power over him. Death could not keep him in the ground. A new day had dawned, a day in which the promises of God came alive in one display of his glory. A day, this day, when darkness had turned to light, when all humanity had access to the throne room of God. This day, over 2,000 years ago, Jesus burst forth from the grave to offer life to all who would believe and trust in him. I'm going to read the same passage that Tom read earlier, Matthew 24:1-7. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb to bring spices which they had prepared, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" All of us here this morning have either had an encounter with Jesus or you need one. You know, we look at those who portrayed those who walked with Jesus here on earth, saw him, saw his miracles, and wouldn't it have been nice to have been here at that time, to be able to walk with him? We can have an encounter just as well as those that shared this morning. Jesus left heaven to come to earth so that we could be transformed. That's what this story is all about, is the transformed life. But the only way that occurs is if we trust him as our personal Lord and Savior. The only way that occurs if we ourselves have an encounter with him. I've asked this morning for Nick to come and to share with us the encounter that he had with Jesus a little less than a year ago. And so, Nick, would you come and share with us? Okay, number 9.
I was really hoping the kids were going to get me out of this.
Hold it. You got to hold it right here.
Right here. Okay.
Hold it like that.
There we go. So you want me to share my testimony first, right?
Yeah, sure. Yep. Okay.
Hi, everybody. Happy Easter. So Pastor Brad has asked me to share what has happened in almost the last year of my life. And I figured I would start off with... There you go. I figured I would start off by sharing my testimony just in case any of you guys didn't hear it. And I can tell you from when I wrote this to now what God has done for me. So, hello, everybody. My name is Nicholas Johnson. And on the day I wrote this, I had decided to give my life to the Lord and let the Holy Spirit walk through me and direct me, which I have done as best to my ability. Some days I let the world bring me down, but, I mean, we've all been there. And I know it's going to be hard, and I have no doubt about that, but I know from experience that I can make it through anything. When I was born, I was purple, almost white. I had the umbilical cord wrapped around my neck. My mom had told me that they had rushed me away to a different wing of the hospital, telling her that I was not going to make it. Obviously, I did. And I know now that God had given me an angel of my own that day. And here are some reasons that I know that God had given me my own personal angel, because the devil was out to get me. When I was young, my next door neighbor had a mental breakdown and tried to stab me with a railroad spike. And if it wasn't for his brother forgetting his name tag at work, I would have been stabbed or at least wounded by my neighbor. But the fact that my neighbor's brother had forgotten his name tag made him late for work, made him turn around to come back home at the exact time that his brother was chasing me around the house with a railroad spike. When I was a small kid, just like Pastor Brad, my mother and my father had driven off the road into a river and our car flipped upside down. Me and my brother were both washed out of the car and we were all okay, but I mean, not nowhere near as bad as Pastor Brad. No one had to dive down to find me, but still a traumatic experience because I was under a year old, so I had no ability to swim by myself besides my natural. And when I was logging, I had been hit by many trees, had many lines snap and hit me all all different kinds of things. My boss used to say that we should set up a clock and just devote it to me. After my numerous logging accidents, I used to curse God's name in ways that I would kind of provoke him and make him out to be the enemy, make him be the cause of what was wrong, not the cure. I used to curse his name and say that I would never die unless it was on the top of a volcano in a sticker bush or some kind of dramatic incident like that. When I turned 25, I had learned that I had cancer. And during that cancer, my heart had stopped during my cancer operation. It's called the, I had a laparoscopic surgery on my stomach. During the surgery, my heart had stopped for a minute and 30 seconds. When they woke up, I told them that there's no way that God would ever let me go. And it wouldn't be that easy. He wouldn't just let me slip off into the abyss. And the nurse laughed at me and said, "That's a good way to think about it." And she was taking it as a positive. And I was more taking it as a, there's no way it would ever be that easy, like I had said before. But through all that suffering and all that peril in my life, I had hit a real low after my divorce, and I didn't see a point to life because of all the pain I had been in from the time I was 16, from all the numerous accidents, the car crashes, and the different things that I always wondered why I was constantly going through these things. And it wasn't until my life had hit a real low and then I had came to church with his wifels and they had they influenced me to come here. They told me my life was in a bad place and this would be a good place to start. And they were right. So it wasn't a maid, but I felt like I had no other options. I was in a very low place in my life. And then I met Pastor Brad and all you wonderful people who have helped me along the way. And I mean,
so when did you meet Christ?
I'm almost there.
Oh, okay.
Yes. I had met Pastor Brad and we had worked through many things that I did not know that I was holding against people in my life or things that I did not know that the devil was working against me. There are certain circumstances in different situations that I was going through when this all had happened, and I'd never thought that I would be going through those things. And I am now married to a beautiful woman. I have two beautiful girls, and I have my son full time. When I first started coming to church, I had my son every 14 days for 2 days. Now I have him full time. I have a wonderful job. I make more money than I ever thought I would make doing what I'm doing. I'm learning a skill, and I would honestly say that I would never be here if it wasn't for Christ. No. These are all things. The path that I'm on is the path that is going to take me to where God wants me to be. And where I was before, I was the leader of my own life. I thought that's where I needed to go. And ever since I've met Christ, I've let go. Me and my wife go through something, you know, life turmoil, bills. I literally just say, we have to give it to God. Because since this whole journey has started, anytime I try and take control, I have to call him and we have to talk about it for 2 to 3 hours. So I kind of just let God do it for me because I keep trying to be like, oh, I'll help you out. And I meet with Pastor Brad. So that's my story.
Amen. Thank you, Nick. So Nick was in a very dark place when he met Christ.
And he told Lord, if you get me out of this, I will serve you. And the Lord got him out of it. And he forgot to tell that part. But you know what? All of us get in those places, don't we? And say, Lord, help me, help me, help me. And when we do, he's always there to help us. And I don't know where you are this morning, but I know where Jesus is. And I know he wants to have an encounter with you. He wants to meet you right where you are and do what he did for Nick and what he's done for many of us here. Bring us to a place where we've never imagined possible. So if you're here without Christ today, we're going to give an invitation. And basically what you're going to do is do what Nick did and say, I surrender. I give up. I want you in my life because I'm not doing a very good job of it myself. And so repenting of our sin, asking him to forgive us, and then placing our faith in him is what is necessary for salvation. What is necessary for you to have that encounter with him. Father, I come before you today. And Lord, I look around this room and Lord, as far as I know, everyone has had that encounter with you. But I don't know that. You know that. And so, Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today who does not have you as their personal Lord and Savior, that, Lord, today they would not leave this place without trusting in you. And we praise you and honor you and thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven. Because you were forsaken, I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, oh, how can it be? My King would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you.
Let's do Amazing Love again.
Amazing love. My joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you
in all I do.
In all I do, I honor you. You are my King. You.
Enjoy, sit back and enjoy as we close.
Happy Easter, y'all.